Now in Christ Jesus, you who were far away have now been brought near through his blood. For he himself is our peace. You are no longer foreigners or aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. In him you too are being built together to become a dwelling place in which God lives by his Spirit. What's that got to do with today? You and I, if we're in tune, can be built into a temple, it's saying here. A place where God can be worshipped. You and I. God, through his Spirit living in us, can do amazing things. We are to be as Christ into our community. He's the cornerstone. The church is built on him, and it's built on apostles and prophets, as it says there in the scripture. But you too, it says, Paul says, you too are being built into this lovely house, which isn't just this building. The house of God is where you and I are being. So I don't know what exciting testimonies we're going to have, but I'm looking forward to hearing it.
And he said, I'm going to have a really loud party all night to keep you awake. This is Steve Parry. Actually, some of you will know his niece, Katie. She's married to Ellie's brother, Andrew Mansell. A lot of you know Katie, just to give you a bit of a family connection there. And I always say that I have the best neighbour in the world. I really do have an amazing neighbour. And Steve, he always puts my bins out every week. Steve mows the lawn, not just now and again, but always mows my lawn. Ever since I had my problems with my back and my back surgery, Steve took over mowing the lawn. And after my surgery, when I was living at the Colemans for a couple of months, Steve decided to bless me by creosoting all of my fences front and back while I was living away. Now, I have 34 fence panels because I have a very long garden, and they were all done while I was away. Isn't that amazing? And even just a couple of months ago, when I was away in Italy, I was going to Holy Island the week after, which is quite a long drive, and he checked my oil and water on the car and tire pressure before I went. He's just great. Now, I do bless him with my cooking most of the time. So he has meals that kind of wing their way up to him. But I'm just so thankful for him. And I really know that God put him there, actually. And he's such a blessing to me. And I always tell him that he's the best neighbour in the world. And it makes me wonder, does he say the same of me? Am I the best neighbour in the world? I tell him he's the best neighbour in the world. But the thing I realise about Steve is that he sees me. He sees somebody who isn't very practical and doesn't like checking air in her own tyres. He sees somebody that doesn't have the strength to pull the cord on her own lawnmower. It's one of those petrol things and I just can't do it. He sees that and he notices that. And so he does something about it. And when I look at Jesus, I notice with his encounters that he sees people and he notices them. You know, when he called Peter and Andrew, they were just in a boat, same as James and John, but he saw them, he noticed them. And he saw more than just what was before him, and he called them. Same with Nathaniel, who is astounded when Jesus kind of reveals prophetically he saw him under a fig tree. He saw them, he noticed them. And then two other stories of people, Zacchaeus, who is up a tree, and Matthew, who's in a tax booth. tax collectors were the worst of the worst in Jesus' time. I don't know what the equivalent would be for us today. And in the context of our neighbours, are they the people with the scruffy house, the noisy children, my mum's cardinal sin, people that leave their wheelie bins out the front? Oh, she doesn't like that. But, you know, what is our equivalent today? What is our equivalent today? Most people would have just dismissed them. But Jesus saw them. Jesus noticed them. And he could see more than what just other people saw. And I love that about Jesus, the fact that he saw beyond what was on the surface. And finally, just the story of the woman who anointed him. You can see at the start there, she comes in with an alabaster flask of fragrant oil, stands at his feet weeping, washes his feet with her tears, wiping them with the hair of her head, kissing his feet, anointing them with oil. And everybody's really put out. And he says to Simon, "Do you see this woman?" Now they could all see her, but they didn't see what Jesus saw. And I really was encouraged last week when Mandy was sharing about someone she worked with who she found really difficult. And so she asked God, "What? Give me your heart for this person. Give me your perspective on this person. What do you see?" And I think sometimes we need to ask God, "What do you see? As you look at my street, what do you see, Lord? And who are the people you want me to notice?" A couple of years ago, my next door but one neighbor was broken into, and the police came round to ask me if I'd seen anything, and I hadn't. But as I was talking to the guy, I suddenly thought to myself, I don't even know what my next door but one neighbor looks like. Not only had I not seen anything, I hadn't even seen him, and I'd lived there for 9 years, and I couldn't even picture him. And, you know, sometimes we're so busy, kind of, I feel like, you know, in and out the car, from the house to the car, busying around. We don't often see what's in front of us, do we? So I'm really looking forward this morning to just hearing some encouragement from people as they've interacted with their neighbours. And I know I feel really challenged about my role within my neighbourhood. Because as Dave has encouraged us, you know, we carry the presence of Jesus. I make a difference in my street just by being me. And I'm looking forward to hearing people's testimonies this morning. And I'm going to start with Leigh, who has a neighbour that many of us will know because we would have driven past his beautiful front garden. So come and tell us. I've got some photos as well.
Hello, church. Good morning. Well, I'm nervous. Well, but I got prepared. I tried to without it. For those who don't know me, my name is Leigh. And a year ago, God gave me and my daughter a home. And that's a miracle that I can share in another occasion. But today I want to talk about my neighbor. Can I have the photo? Okay, this is Ray. This is Ray, and this is his garden, and this is a flat building, and he's my neighbor downstairs, and he's 80 years old, and this picture was taken a year ago, before I moved in, and this garden is famous, well-known, and people pass by on the busy road of Stratford Road, they recognize it. It says, eye-catching area and the attraction, really, really a blessing for everybody. And I would say in the summer, it's brighten your day when you see it. And but what Ray says, he says that he didn't do anything, that he just put them together, and it was the Mother Nature who did it, all the work. But our church, we know that all the plants and the flowers is God's creation, and this lovely, lovely colors combination all together, really, really touching. Anyway, early this year in May, it was a Sunday. Somehow I decided to come to church early, and I get out with my daughter, and I saw Ray walking in the garden, and I was saying, hi, hello, how are you? And I was expecting the same from him. But he asked me, where are you going? I said, oh, I'm going to the church, and if you have time, come together, or maybe next week you can come together, or during the week we have a love acceptance and healings, the lively heart that you can join in with your wife. But he said no, because both him and his wife suffering cancer, and the really busy with going to hospitals almost every day, and especially his wife. So we managed to talk a bit more, and I asked whether he would like to have a prayer, and he accepted it. And so my prayer was for healings, and really thankful for God that giving him the gift of talents of gardening. And so I didn't come to church early, but I managed to talk to him and prayed for him. And so I wasn't expecting that. But somehow God managed to have that happened. And a few days, about 2-3 days later, I get back to home, and I saw him just getting off from his car. And I was like, say hi and hello, how are you? And expecting that a dramatic change about how he felt. But I asked, how are you? And he said, no, I'm not. Because my wife passed away. And that's God taught me another lesson, that he has his own plan. Although my heart was praying for the healings, but God has another plan for Ray and his family. Anyway, I was really, really sad, and I was worried, and I couldn't do anything. So I text around, asked for the ladies, pass it on, and to pray for him. And also in our Bible study group, and we pray for the right support for him. And sorry, where am I? I still see him. I saw him sadness, and still say hi to each other. And I offered to help in any ways, cooking, ironing, or in any ways, but he refused. But what I really realized that what he needed was the spiritual support that he can help him pass through this grieving time. Whenever we met, we could have a chance to talk. I talked to him. And I will still ask him if he would like her for a prayer, and he still accepted. Really, really thankful for that. And but I still saw him very badly affected, and his illness getting worse. So I was really worried, and he even told me he won't do the garden this year. And anyway, other than prayers, nothing I can do. But one day he told me that he's still going to do the garden, and it was his children. His son living in Australia came all the way along with family, his granddaughter and wife, and his son's wife, and came all the way right after they heard the news. And his children in the UK really supportive. So that the prayer of right support actually answered. So Ray got the passion to do the garden again, and he said he's doing the garden for his wife as a tribute, and also his children say that they want to show the memory of their mother as well. But sadly, Ray still say that he may not do it next year, and he probably this one is the last one that he can do. And I still see that he managed with putting a new features on, but he's in his evening sleeping gown, and because he's really poorly, I can see, and he couldn't eat. he can only eat yogurt. All his throat is swollen, and he couldn't speak sometimes. And I would be really worried. Sometimes I didn't see him during the week, and I really worry that something that could happen to him. But eventually, he comes out. He comes out with his dog at the back garden. And we managed to talk more, pray more, and he told me some of his stories. And he questioned about various things of God that my beliefs, and but he shows his respect. And also he told me some miracles that happened to him. He couldn't answer, but might be, as he said, might be from God. And anyway, I know for sure it's from him. So during the summer, that eventually his garden built up, and but after the funeral, his children went back, and nobody living. He's living along with his dog, and go to the hospital. He refused treatment, asked to come back because of the garden. And so I offered to give him some breakfast, some liquid lentil soups, and some vegetable soups that he could possibly manage to eat. There's one morning, at the back garden, I saw him again, and his daughter is going to come to move in with him, so he's going to get the support. And later August, September, I got something going on with my life, so I didn't manage to talk to him. But early about a few weeks ago, I saw him again, and he said, he's much brighter on his face. And he says everybody saw him, says that he's getting healthier, although that's he's still have the illness. But his look from the outside, brighter, and he got lovely smiles. And he said, my daughter was the happiest little girl he ever seen in his life. So somehow my daughter bring the cheers to him as well. And he said, everybody telling him, and but he managed to control at the moment. And he asked me how I was during the summer. I said, well, there were down times, but I know who is looking after me. And he said, well, he's not a theological person, but he will pray for me and my daughter.
Isn't that great? I'm sure many of us have driven past that amazing front garden. I was visiting Leigh once, and he was out, and I was able to have a bit of a chat with him and just thank him, really, for what he'd done. It's such a blessing, isn't it? Should we just pray for him now? Father, we just want to thank you for Ray. Thank you for the beauty of your creation that he cultivates and prepares and blesses so many people with. But Lord, we really pray that he will come to know you. And Father, I thank you for his relationship with Leigh and Poppy. I thank you that you place Leigh and Poppy there, and for the conversations and prayers that have happened amongst them. So, Father, will you come and meet with him? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, Maggie, where are you? Come up next.
Well, follow that. And she's not been here that long. I've actually been in my neighbourhood for 33 years at least. And I live on Damson Woods, so I'm a little bit far out now. But we used to be in Central Solihull, and now we've moved to Shirley. Now we've got a building. I'd like to tell you just about a neighbour from Shirley, because who is my neighbour? My neighbour is all the people I meet. And one day somebody said here that some ladies from this church on a Sunday decided to bless people with a bunch of flowers, somebody they prayed about and felt God would encourage them by giving them a bunch of flowers. And I thought, oh, what a lovely idea. And then I remembered having a Christmas card from a colleague that I worked with maybe 30 years ago. And we hadn't had much contact in the meantime. And only at Christmas she would put from so-and-so, not even love. So it was a bit of a distant relationship. But we did work together, sometimes not always easy. So I thought, well, I don't really remember where she lives, but I knew the road, and so I went and got some flowers and walked down this road. Well, I drove down this road, stopped for the first person. She was as deaf as a post. There was nobody in this long road who could give me a clue. Then I came across a man with some headphones on or something or other, and I tried to contact him. Finally, I got him to turn around. It was like everything was against me going to this house. And he said one thing. He said, did she live in Birmingham or did she live in Solihull? And I said, I think she lived in Birmingham. And he told me where the boundary line was. And that was God's clue for me. And so I went down there and I said, God, you're going to have to show me the house. I had been before, but it was many, many years ago. And I knew exactly the house. It just like, he said, that's it. So I bravely knocked the door with these flowers. And when she came to the door, the funny thing was that she didn't recognize me. Must be the wrinkles and the gray hair. But she recognized my voice and she just absolutely hugged me and cried. And she's still grieving 2 years on. But I've been going to see her quite regularly. She's housebound, she's racked with arthritis. But she has a Christian background and God never forgets people. And he's on her case. And we've had many talks. And sometimes I don't like to do it because it ends up being almost an argument. And I don't like that, you know, because there's something in her that's stopping her. She knows it's the truth. And when John Flanner was speaking at Love, Acceptance and Healing, I thought, I didn't think. God put this idea in my head to phone up and invite her to this. Well, she never wants to go to anything. And I said, God, she'll say no. What's the point? So I was obedient to what I thought he said. And so I phoned up and she was very gracious and said, thank you for inviting me. I'll think about it. And I thought, that's no. And it was no. So the next day I get a phone call saying, there was no excuse. But so I thought, oh, well, I did what I felt was right. And then she never goes out, but she has to go out for hospital appointments. And another friend had taken her to a hospital. And because it was like one of the few days she gets out of the house, her friend said, well, should we go out for lunch? And so they ended up at the Baptist coffee shop in Kairos, in Shirley. And I just thought God has a sense of humour, really, because her friend met another friend in the coffee shop, and she said, oh, we're having a good speaker this afternoon. Would you and your friend like to come? And guess who it was? It was John Flanner. So she phoned me up and she told me and she said, that was a coincidence, wasn't it? And I thought, more than a coincidence. But anyway, where I live, I live on a big estate, housing estate, and it's had a Christian presence there for a long time. Some of them moved on to higher echelons and bigger houses, but there's still a presence of Christian people. And one thing we've done is, over the years, I haven't done it lots of times, but because it's such a long road, I've prayer walked. And God shows you, by his Spirit, different needs in different houses and different things to pray for, the school and the community for safety. Because at one point we were having a lot of vandalism. And I prayed with people I didn't know from other churches, which was really nice. And I just think that makes a difference in an area. So my neighbours, God doesn't always send you the neighbours you want. For many years, for 29 years, I think, I had the most difficult neighbours that anybody could have. I'm sure there's more, but... And I had to cultivate an attitude of love towards them, even though it was one of fear half the time. But we just, and Sue was sharing my house at that time, and we used to pray for them, and we always had a problem with water, and I'd taken legal advice, and it wasn't my fault, but I always got the blame. And as the weather's changed, it was getting worse and worse. But anyway, one time we had a problem with water that just nobody knew where it was coming from. And it was the deep part of winter. And this water started freezing. And it was like a nightmare because of a slight slope around to our houses. And they were getting worried. All the little neighbours, I'm in a block of four, everybody. It brought us together in a funny sort of way because we... Even Seven Trent arrived, and my neighbour fell out with the Seven Trent man and said, "You better come in and tell me what he says, because I'm not dealing with him." The poor man hadn't even got out of the vehicle. And anyway, I had a friend with me, and I said, "I just want to go in there. Will you come with me?" And my friend was very bold. And this had been going on for about a month, this problem with this water, and all the gardens were full of water, and it was ice by this time. And she said to them, would you like us to pray about this, because nobody seems to be able to solve this problem, and everybody says it's not their problem. I was terrified it was on my house that I was responsible. And she went, "Don't believe in church." And I knew that all the time the aggro that I'd had was something like a spirit in her. So my friend said, "I'm not talking about church," very graciously. "Shall we pray?" And she prayed. And the atmosphere just changed. And they both smiled. And she hugged me. And I mean, that had never happened. And a few days later, she came around and said, "I have no problem with you being my neighbour." And then a few days after that, I came home on the bus, and the water had just disappeared. Nobody knew where or what had happened, but it sovereignly had gone. So, but anyway, after that, I knew that they were getting older, and they both died eventually. Lived really to the 90s and everything, but so I had a good stretch of being stretched. So I used to lay hands on the wall and think, "Who's going to live here? Am I all right?" And I prayed that God would send Asian people, because I love Asian people. So if you're here and you're Asian, you're in with a chance. And God answered my prayer and said the most lovely families. I've had several, one living next door and one living next door but one. And I've been, these are God-fearing people. They are not born again. But God has given me such an inroad into their lives, because they come and bring their new baby to me, because it's got eczema and stuff, to be prayed for. They always asking to pray. And I've been in their houses. I go to their parties. They've been for meal in my house. And they bring all their Asian friends with them, and so they've become my friends. And I can't say anybody's become a Christian, but we have some interesting talks, and I just keep on praying. But the bus stop outside my house is my main source of reaching out to people. And even though I've got a car, I use my bus a lot to go in and out of Solihull. And even if you don't witness to people, they share their lives. Just this last week, somebody said, "I've just come to the area because my children live here. In 1 year, I lost my husband, my child, and my mother, and I've been in grief all this time." She said, "I'm looking for friends." You know, I don't know whether I'll see that lady again, but she only lives around the corner. I just know that even if I can't do that, I can't get them to become a Christian, I can be a friend and pray for them. And I've been praying for her that I'll have another opportunity to meet her. So.
Prayer makes a difference, doesn't it? Prayer makes a difference. Rachel Holland, where are you? There you are.
Morning, church. Good morning, church. I'd like to start with a couple of verses from 1 Corinthians 12, please. Verses 4 to 6, it says this. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Last year, when Rich and Becky shared with us how they were going to grasp the opportunity of the season of Christmas by taking round mince pies to their neighbours and talking to them about their faith, I was in awe. That's something I would find incredibly hard to do. Talking one-to-one is not my strong point, as you will have gathered by now, I'm sure. But we did want to reach out to our immediate neighbours in some way, and so we started thinking and praying about it. I was having a coffee and a number of biscuits, too many biscuits, with two ladies from our previous church shortly after this time. And it turned into a bit of a prayer meeting, as it so often does with them. God made it clear to me right then what we needed to do. At any other time of year, it would be a bit strange to go around your neighbours' houses and stick a Christian poem through the letterbox. But at Christmas, that's okay, as long as it's inside a card. I talked to Gary about it to see what he thought, and he said, that sounds like a great idea. So here's the poem we sent out to 9 of our immediate neighbours. Christmas Day will soon be here. Those presents look so tempting. It is the season of good cheer, but shops will soon be empty. It's hard to keep a smiling face when all the kids are whining. I don't like this. I wanted that. It's just so undermining. We'd like to feel the blessed peace our Christmas cards all speak of, but kids hyped up, we're on our knees before the Christmas bake-off. With concerts here and pantos there, you know, things are so manic, and as we watch the dates whiz by, we soon begin to panic. But wait, what's that? Among the red, I see a tiny form, a manger in an old cowshed. Remember, Christ was born. So don't forget, as cake is sliced, to do yourself a favour. Remember our Lord Jesus Christ, who came to be our Saviour. Yes, he came here from heavenly realms to free us from all fear. So, as the tinsel overwhelms, call out, and he will hear. Enjoy your Christmas. I'm no Grinch. It's Jesus' birthday bash. Presents, cake, don't penny pinch, include him, is all we ask. To be honest, I expected no feedback at all. We live in a cul-de-sac, we're all terribly polite to one another. So I know if people didn't like it or approve of it, they just wouldn't say anything. But actually, out of the 9 cards we sent, 8 of those households contacted us in some way to tell us what they thought. No bad comments at all, phew. I can't say that we've transformed our road into a thriving Christian community yet, but at least they know that we're all followers of Jesus, and that will give us a good basis for conversations as and when they happen. We didn't do it for Easter. We know there's sometimes a danger of preaching too much nowadays, and we didn't want to overstep that mark. However, Christmas is on its way again, and there will be a new poem inside the Christmas cards this year, unless God tells us to do something else instead. Maybe we'll even send it to family members this year and see what happens. I'm so glad he uses what we enjoy doing to be a witness for him. Thanks for listening.
Isn't that great? What a fantastic poem. She's very gifted, our Rachel. Christmas, as Rich has shared with us often, is a great opportunity to impact our neighbours. It gives us an excuse to go and talk to people. Alison.
You know, this comes out of prayer, and everybody that's shared has mentioned prayer. And I know that I've had a home group on my estate which has prayer walked over the 18 years they've been there. And I know that when Mary ran Pass It On and Bridging the Gap, she took one of those teams out to prayer walk around my estate. And this Mary is the fruit that has come from those prayers. So please be encouraged. You know, it will be 5 years in December that God placed on my heart to have mulled wine and mince pies for my neighbours. And I thought, wow, what a great idea. They're going to get saved. they're going to pray for the sick, they're going to be healed, and that day. And I thought, wow, this is going to be brilliant, Father. So I sent the invites out, invited them round. I knew they all weren't going to come because they all can't fit in my house, but God knows who he wants there. So they came and I served them mulled wine and mince pies. Nobody got saved. We didn't break the bread that I'd got ready. We didn't share any communion. The name of Jesus never got mentioned. Nobody got saved. Nobody got healed. God didn't get to pray for anyone. So I told God I wasn't doing it again. So the following year came and God said, I want you to do the mulled wine and mince pies. And I said, no. And I sat there for 20 minutes telling him why I wasn't going to do it. So within the next 10 minutes, I walked out my house and this neighbour shouts over, Alison, you're doing your mulled wine and mince pies this year? And I'm going, yes, yes, of course I am. It's like, flipping neck, Father, what's all that about? So anyway, each year I now do the mulled wine and mince pies. The fruit that's come out of that is this. Last year I prayed that one of my neighbours would come who had had a little girl. And because babies, children, they're always good at events like this. And my neighbours opposite me, their back door is their front door, so I don't really see them very often. And I prayed in the August that she would come. And in December, for mulled wine and mince pies, she came with the baby. She didn't come with her husband. To cut the story short, the family link here is that she comes to breastfeeding cafe. And she was coming, and I didn't know that. The other thing that's happened is in the summer, my neighbour and I, we had our slabs relaid in the front garden. And a number of years ago, I prayed for his wife, who wasn't in a great place. She was in a lot of pain. And she said to me, whatever you do, don't tell my husband you've prayed for me, because he doesn't do religion. So in the summer, he's telling me, as we're having our slabs laid, that his mother-in-law isn't very well. So he says, you know, Alison, he says, you need to say one of those prayers. I went, oh, right. I thought, this is something. We're onto something here. I thought, not bad, considering he doesn't do religion. So anyway, I did pray for her. And a number of days later, I bumped into him. I didn't mention anything, but he said to me, oh, in the conversation, he was saying to me about how she's feeling better. Now, I didn't know this, but she was actually dying. But she was feeling better. Now, I'm quick. So I said, you know what that is, don't you? I said, that's that prayer I prayed. Well, his face just changed. He didn't know. He couldn't look at me in the face. But what I saw was God softening the hearts. And that comes out of prayer. The other thing that's happened is I've got several neighbours, but there's a couple. And I call him my mate. He's my mate, he is. And when I see him about, we've talked over the years, and I've given him a Why Jesus book, I've shared my testimony. He's ex-army, ex-bodyguard, so I shared about going on mission, especially North Korea, and he'd say, Alison, we used to come and get people like you. Like... So, anyway, he's got bone cancer and it's terminal. And they both approached me last Sunday. And he said, Alison, he said, there's something that I want. So I said, well, what? He says, I want you to bless my relationship with my partner, who is a woman. He says, I want you to bless it. So I went, right, okay. So I said, I'll have a think about this. So anyway, I spoke to somebody and I knew he was due at the hospital on the Wednesday, and I sent him a text message to say, I'll come and see you Wednesday evening, but it's a yes. So I went round to see them on Wednesday evening, and God had dropped some ideas into me. And they want, I'm going to do it. It's so of God. I've said that God has spoken to me. This is what I feel God wants. They're going to go with it. But they want God at the center of this. And that's the fruit that comes out of prayer.
Wow. Hallelujah. Julia.
But I just felt God wanted me to share this testimony for our encouragement to persevere. That's what I felt he say. He wants us to be encouraged to persevere. So my story goes 40 years back. 40 years ago, we moved to Solihull, didn't know many people, joined SCF, so we only knew Christians, really. And then we were having an evangelistic sort of outreach, and they were encouraging us to speak to our non-Christian friends. I thought, Lord, I don't have any non-Christian friends, only just moved. So I took Jonathan to play school. So he was two. He's now nearly 42. And I met this lovely girl there, lovely lady who'd only just moved, was feeling really, really lonely, had a two-year-old. We became really close friends. And because I'd prayed, I felt right. Within a short space of time, she was going to become a Christian because I'd prayed and God had sent this dear friend to us. So we befriended the family. We had very good relationships with them. And it went on and on and on. She had breast cancer, and God really touched her heart, but she still didn't give her heart to the Lord. So none of the family had become Christians. So then they moved away, and we didn't really see. We lost touch, actually, for quite a long, long time. We still don't see them very much. Last Christmas, so you're talking 40 years, I had a Christmas card from her who said, Becky, that's the daughter who was friends with Jonathan, was baptised. And I then met Becky outside of Aldi's a couple of months or so ago, and she was just so full of God. It's quite emotional, isn't she? And she belongs to a church similar to ours. She said, Mum comes along sometimes, but she said, when I was at my baptism, I should really have invited you because I actually said that you were the first people to introduce me to the church. And I just felt God say to me, you need to share that because that's 40 years. Encourage us to persevere. And yesterday at the trumpet call, we prayed again for prodigals. And I know prodigals are so on our hearts, aren't they? How many of us have got children that are prodigals? We prayed again. We did it 18 years ago. We did it again yesterday. And it was a very powerful time. And it was all about persevering, because God will answer our prayers. So that was what I wanted to share.